Good evening, everyone. As always, I'd like to express my appreciation for y'all giving me this time to stand and preach the word of God. This year, we've had a lot of spiritual growth here at this congregation, and I'm like Brother Lass, I couldn't be more proud than serving with a group of people like you. With that, let's go ahead and get into our lesson. My lesson tonight, I'd like to briefly share with us some points from the Bible that we should constantly be aware of as saints of Christ. While none of these points may prove to be new to us, it is still wise for us to always address them. In fact, the Bible tells us to continue in the word, John chapter 8, verse 31. Also, James chapter 1, verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so this continuing of the word of God is not just for us to be hearers of it, but also for us to live our lives by it as well. Brother Brantley couldn't have said it better in his closing some weeks back. He said he wouldn't go buy groceries and then leave them sitting on the counter. You know, that just wouldn't make any sense. And so we should definitely be doing God's work, applying what we learn to our lives daily. But the first point I'd like to highlight is, what exactly happens to us when we obey the gospel of Christ? Again, what exactly happened to us when we obey the gospel of Christ? Let's read about it in the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. We'll start reading it about verse 3. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin should not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." So when we obey the gospel of Christ, we were crucified with Christ so that our body of sin might be destroyed. Then being made free from sin, we became servants of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So when we obeyed the gospel, we made the agreement to give ourselves to God. Why do we do this? To glorify God with our body and with our spirit. And guess what? Both belong to God. Our duties as servants is to serve or perform duties for our master, which is Christ. and he has left for us our duties to perform here in the Bible. I love how Paul referenced himself when he wrote the letter to Philemon. The first thing he said was, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul knew that in all his works or doings, he had to be obedient to Christ. And he was so humble and submissive in accepting his role as a servant, he referenced himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He knew that as a prisoner of Christ, he didn't have the choice of what he wanted to do. He knew that he had to be obedient to his master, Jesus Christ. And just as Paul did, we likewise should be prisoners of Jesus Christ. Humble, submissive, and obedient to all of the commandments. For it is our duty as servants of the Lord. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, we'll start reading at about verse 97. And this is some verses that I personally like, that tells us how we should feel about the Word of God. And Psalms chapter 119. Verse 97. Here reads, O how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained from my feet every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment. For thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Our God that we serve is such a loving God. He made provisions for us to be free from sin. And all that he requires of us is to be faithful unto death, and he will give unto us that crown of life. Revelation 2:10. He left us simple commandments, which require for us to simply obey. We have examples of others who came before us in order for us to learn from them, man. Just as we are given commandments, they were given commandments. Simple commandments, which require for them to simply obey. This has been his way from the beginning of time. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. We can go throughout the entire Bible and notice this very thing. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 16, God gave Adam a commandment saying what? Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, or freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. A simple commandment, which required for them to simply obey. God gave Moses commandments in order for him to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness. He gave Noah commandments, instructing him of how to build the ark. And as stated before, we have commandments also from the book of Romans through Jude. Simple commandments, which required for us to simply obey. It reminds me of that game that we used to play, well, I used to play, I don't know if you did. Game of Simon Says. What was the objective of the game? Everything that Simon said, you did it. And if Simon didn't tell you to do something, you did it, what happened? You got put out of the game, right? If you stopped doing something Simon told you to do, you got put out of the game. And you couldn't get back in the game, so everybody else who was playing that game messed up like you did. But in the Lord's church, well, God gives us commandments, doesn't he? And when we do those commandments, he tells us to continue them until death, be faithful unto death. So if we stop doing those commandments, what happens? We lose fellowship. If we do anything that anybody else said do, then the Lord didn't tell us to do, what happens? We lose fellowship. But then he made provisions for us to regain fellowship without having to wait for everybody else to mess up like we did. Oh, yeah. What did he say? Yeah. At James chapter 5, verse 16, he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And so our God loves us so much. He not only gave us simple commandments, but along with them, he gave us the assurance of knowing that No matter who we are, we can understand these commandments. Let's turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and read about this. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Here reads, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Also in the book of 1 John chapter 5, it's a couple book, or the next book over. Verse 13 through 15 reads this. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Here reads, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Also in the book of, so here God gives us the assurance that we don't have to build ourselves up with these titles in front of our name or a lengthy past of education to believe in Christ. Not that there's anything wrong with these things, but they're definitely not required in order for us to be a servant of Jesus Christ. The Bible also does not cater to one person or a group of people. In Psalms chapter 150 and verse 6, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And last time I checked, everything was living, was breathing. I love when Brother Hampton talks about his dad. To be more specific, at his father's funeral, he said the preacher there made a comment about his father saying that you wouldn't consider him to be an educated man, but he said he was wise in the scripture. And I can only imagine how the audience received that statement. Some of them were probably a bit confused about it. But Brother Hampton says that he and his sister still talk about that moment to this day, and he assured me that he felt that this compliment was the highest compliment that a man could give to another person. And I tend to agree. Because wisdom of the scripture enables us to love God and have the respect for the gospel of Christ. It causes us to be obedient to the commandments that were left for us in order for us to receive that crown of life if only we remain faithful unto death. So God not only gives us simple commandments which require for us to simply obey, and the assurance that all of us can understand and obey his word, but he also left us with great parables and analogies for us to know who he is and who we are in relationship or in reference to the relationship that we should have with him. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 10. And we'll just look at a few of them here. This one should be quite familiar to us or those who have been in our Bible class throughout these last weeks. John chapter 10, and I just start reading here verse 1. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You see this great analogy here for us to understand the word of God? Jesus here being the shepherd of the sheep and we being the sheep. He calleth his sheep by name and leadeth them out. And we follow him because why? We know his voice. But if we hear any other voice other than Jesus Christ's voice, what do we do? Well, let's go to verse 5 and see. It says, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Simple commandments that require for us to simply obey. From the book of Romans to the book of Jude. See how simple this great analogy is for us to understand the gospel of Christ? Well, let's go to another parable here in the book of Mark chapter 4. It's Mark chapter 4, and I start reading at verse 3. Here it reads, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and divided it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Here Jesus is simply telling us about these different soil types that a sower will sow on. But let's look at the analogy here, starting at verse 14. The child is in. The sower soweth the word. And these are by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure it for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they get offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Here Jesus simply, in this simple parable, giving us this great analogy that all of us can understand. And so God gives us simple commandments which require for us to simply obey, the assurance that we all can know and understand the word of God, and great analogies for us to understand who he is and who we are in reference to the relationship that we should have with him. God even tells us that his commandments are not grievous. At John chapter 5, verse 3, over at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So God wants us to be obedient to the gospel. And as Christians, we should find comfort in his word. Well, why is it that so many of us have difficulties with obeying God's commandments? Let's read in the Bible and see. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verse 17. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Here it reads, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the thing that ye would." Have you ever tried to mix oil and water? What happens? No matter what you do, you can't mix them. And neither can you mix fleshly things with spiritual things. Early in the lesson, I quoted a scripture to you all, and this time I'd like for you to go to it and read it for yourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Turn with me there if you would. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Again, here it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Question: how can the word of Christ dwell in you, that temple of the Holy Ghost that you have, if you are always in it? Again, I say, how can the word of Christ dwell in me the temple of the Holy Ghost that I have if I'm always in it? It can't. It's just like that oil and water. They can't mix. Or day and night, they cannot coexist. And neither can the spirit and the flesh. Do you not realize that when the serpent Satan was speaking to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he simply convinced her to think about herself? What she can gain, what she could accomplish by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go and read it ourselves. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. He says here, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to what? The eyes. And the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. As soon as she thought about herself, what happened? She sinned and tried to mix self-will with the commandment from God. And they cannot coexist. Whenever a Christian has difficulties or conflicts with obeying the word of God, it's simply because of self-will. And until we realize, until we remove ourselves from the equation, then we will always have difficulties and conflict obeying the word of God. And brethren, we have to be careful when we do this. We cannot go behind our brothers and sisters' back when they simply stand on the word of God. Amen. The Bible uses strong terminology speaking against this very thing. In fact, it calls us fools if we were to do such a thing. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and see. It's Proverbs chapter 15. I just read the first 10 verses. But throughout the Bible, there's many places in the Bible that speak about the tongue and the use of it. Here it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That means you can't hide, whether you're on the phone or in the person's face. He sees. The wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction, pay attention to this, is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And this is the reason why Christians have difficulties, conflict with obeying the word of God. But this last sentence here is a strong caution for us all. And he that hateth reproof shall die. As I said before, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful. We can't talk about our brothers and sisters behind their back when they claim or make the claim that they are wrong when they only stand on the word of God. This is a very serious offense, and we don't want to be found to be foolish in the sight of the Lord. In closing, as Christians, as saints of God, as prisoners of Jesus Christ, as Paul so eloquently put it, we should simply be working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I like to always put emphasis on that word on, because in order for us to follow Jesus Christ, we have to have that personal relationship with him. This means that sometimes we might even have to put down those old traditions that we used to follow. It might come a time where we have to deny the very ones we love the most in order to follow Jesus Christ. And so we must have that personal relationship with him for us to have that assurance that Jesus Christ is and will always be the author and finisher of our faith. There may be some among us who have not yet obeyed the gospel, have not made your bodies the temple of the Holy Ghost, where their instructions are what we should do in the gospel. Since we must hear the word of God, we must believe, repent, and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Then Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And some of us among us may have fallen short of the glory of God. Might need to repent and make our confessions to the church so that we can pray for you and you can be added back into the fold. If any of you are subject to the invitation tonight, please, at this time, come as we stand and sing. Lord.